today. If today is your first time, make sure that you fill out. We have a little welcome card in front of you. Make sure that you fill that out, and we have a special gift for you in the back. And then just a couple of exciting things coming up. First of all, we have our lot party coming up, as Stephanie mentioned. Our lot party's coming up this Saturday. It's crazy. It's crazy to think. This Saturday is our lot party. Are you guys excited? Are you guys excited? Yes, yes, very good, very good. So this Saturday from 11 to 2 o'clock, this Saturday, Saturday 25th, 11 to 2, if you can be there at 10 o'clock on Saturday, that would be great. And then, as Stephanie mentioned, on Wednesday, we're going to be packing some bags and whatnot. And so if you come on Wednesday, it's going to be a good time. We're going to kind of give us a rundown of everything that's going to be happening on Saturday. So even if you can only come for a little while on Saturday, make sure that you're there and make sure that you're a part. Because, man, you know, a while ago I was praying actually towards the beginning of the year about just the vision for the church and the things that I wanted to happen. And one of the things that I really felt was a burden for our immediate community. And like actually even if you look around us today, I don't think that there's anyone who lives in our immediate community. And so I really feel like when God spoke to the disciples, he said, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so I think we can do a better job of reaching our Jerusalem or our Taylor. Amen? And so what a cool way for us to love on people than to give them free school supplies. And I actually we had a couple people call us yesterday. We were in the Taylor today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our church and also the lot party, a couple people called us yesterday asking us about it. And so, you know, even if we can just be the hands and feet of Jesus for a day, you know, just giving people love for a day. I mean, people coming, and I had a principal call me about a week ago who was over at Meyer Elementary, and she was telling me that they really need school supplies, and they really need, I guess a lot of the kids come down from Inkster and come down from Detroit to go to Meyer. And she was saying how that was such a need, and she was so thankful. So any overflow that we're having for our party, we're actually giving to them, and we told them about the party, and they should be coming. And so, you know, even if we can be the hands and feet of Jesus for a day, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about going out beyond the four doors of the church and about loving on people and showing them Jesus and making him famous. Amen? I mean, that's what Christianity is all about. So if you can come and you can be a part, that would be fantastic. Also today, I'm going to have an abbreviated message. I'm probably going to get done at about 11:30. So I'm going to preach a fiery 15, 20-minute sermon. But at 11:45, we have door hangers, and we're going to go out. And if you can stay and be a part, great. I understand some people, I've talked to some people, and they have some physical limitations. If that's you, if you can pray for us, amen. Pray for supernatural appointments as we go out. And we're just going to canvas. We're actually just going to go straight this way. So we're going to hit the neighborhood right to the east of us. There's a bunch of apartments that are over there, and there's a bunch of homes here. In fact, I think we mapped it out a few months ago when we were planning this out, and we found out that just from here over to the apartments, there's 850 homes. So there's tons of people in this area where we can really make a difference. And so, so at 11:45, so when I finish preaching, you can go use the bathroom, get a drink, eat some lunch in about 10 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Go, you know, do your stuff. And then at 11:45, we're just going to canvas out. And however many people we have, it's cool. And we'll just get rid of the door hangers that we have. So all that to say, I'm excited. It's going to be a busy week, but it's going to be a good week for Taylor Christian. Amen. Amen. So today is kind of, I wore this shirt today in remembrance of our series, Won't You Be My Neighbor? I don't know if anyone noticed, but it says, Hello, Neighbor, and it has Fred Rogers on it. Do you guys like it? You like it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But kind of in remembrance of that, the next couple sermons are going to kind of be rogue sermons that aren't attached to any series. And then starting in September, we're going to be starting a series called The Counselor. Can you say The Counselor? So in September, we're starting a series called The Counselor. But for the next couple of Sundays, they're just kind of rogue sermons that I had sitting in my heart. And so I hope you guys bear with me. I mean, normally people like the series and they get up, but these are rogues, so bear with me, okay? Rogue one right here, okay? So anyways, bad pun, bad joke. Don't laugh me off the stage. So today we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You can turn there in your Bibles. You can follow along on the screen. You can also follow along on your phone. The tagline today is, let your light shine. Can you look to your neighbor and say, let your light shine? Now look to your other neighbor and say, let your light shine. Yeah, there we go. Let your light shine. That's the tagline for today's message. Again, it's going to be kind of quick today, but in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says this. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's read that again. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. God, I just pray that you'll bless this word. I pray that you'll bless this message. God, I pray that hearts will be changed and transformed this morning as I give your word in your holy name. Amen. You know, this is kind of an interesting passage. Maybe some of you have read it before. I think it's a very important passage of Scripture. You know, really from the beginning of the Bible, there's been a contrast between light and darkness. Do you agree with me? There's been a big contrast between light and darkness. In fact, even if you go to Genesis chapter 1, you see that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit hovered over the surface of the deep. Kind of dark, right? And then you see at the very beginning of the Bible, it says, God said, let there be light. There's a contrast between light and darkness, really from the beginning of the Bible, not only in the physical sense, but I would also argue in the spiritual sense. Do you agree with me today in the spiritual sense, right? There's a contrast between light and darkness. I don't probably have to tell you too much about all the darkness that is in the world. In fact, we're coming up on the 77th anniversary of the day that will go down in infamy when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. 77 years. Can you believe that? 77 years this December. It will be the 77th anniversary. Time of dark times when people came and bombed the United States. We're coming up on the 17th anniversary of September 9/11. That probably is hitting a little bit closer to home for many of you. Maybe some of you are here during the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Probably Ken, right, Ken? But, yeah, there we go. But most of you other people might not, but September 11th. I don't know, it always seems like with big events like that, you can always remember where you were when you heard it and what your initial thoughts were. I remember I was at school, I was a freshman in college, and I just met my beautiful wife, Erin, and she thinks she's hiding from me. I just met my beautiful wife, Erin, and we heard it. They brought us all into chapel and told us what had happened, and I remember trying to process the thoughts of someone taking planes and ramming them into buildings, and then us watching the footage and seeing the second plane live hit the second tower, and I remember them talking about people jumping off the buildings to their death because they were afraid that they were going to be burning alive. And there's actually a picture of a gentleman. I was just doing some research this week. They caught a man in mid-jump who was on his way down to his death, down from the top of the World Trade Centers. Darkness is all around us. You know, sometimes darkness, though, I mean, sometimes darkness is an event. Sometimes it's something big that happens in history. But I believe it's not something that just takes place. It's not just an event. Maybe it's not just something that takes place overseas in a godless country. Darkness isn't something that just takes place in the slums of the city. But a lot of times darkness can be close to home. It might be in your workplace. It might be across the street. It might be even in your own home. I believe the enemy is always at work, and that darkness has no prejudice. The enemy is always at work, and that darkness has no prejudice. I think the enemy has done a good job of really connecting light with darkness when you think about it. In fact, in the book of Habakkuk, I mean, this isn't something new that the enemy's been doing. If you look at the book of Habakkuk, it says this. It says that the righteous are hemmed in with the wicked so that justice is perverted. In fact, I was just talking to a lady at the bank the other day. I was opening up some accounts for her. And we were talking about her finances, and suddenly it took a left-hand turn, and she was telling me that she was sitting in her kitchen looking out her window, and she saw a light moving back and forth in her garage. And she looked out there, and she looked a little bit closer, and it was kind of dark, so her eyes had to adjust. And as she was looking out, she realized that it was her husband trying to hang himself in her garage, and that was his phone in her pocket, in his pocket. The enemy is always at work. The enemy is always trying to destroy. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And darkness is all around us. I think the sad thing is that many of us have maybe become accustomed to the darkness. We have become desensitized to how dark things really have become, or how evil things have really have become. It's almost like when you're looking in a dark room, and at first it's hard to see, but after a while you adjust. And to be honest, I think there are certain benefits to the darkness. You don't have to look at certain things. You don't have to see certain things. You can kind of ignore certain things. There are certain benefits to the darkness. But really, the things that used to make us blush, now it's become so common that we think nothing of it. The darkness. The enemy is always at work. Remember that. The enemy is always at work in the darkness. So what should our response be in the dark world that we live in? I mean, we can look and we can see in the news and we can look at history and we can see all the things that have happened. But again, what should be our response to the darkness that's around us? Should we fade into the dark? Should we sit in the dark? Should we hide in the dark? Should we, you know, ignore what's happening? What should be our response to the darkness? What should be our response to the darkness? You know, here Jesus is probably giving one of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, which is really from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And he is talking to his disciples and he's encouraging them. And really, when you think about it, it was kind of a dark time that he was in at that time as well. I mean, John the Baptist had been beheaded. There was persecution of Christians. In fact, the disciples were getting ready to go into probably one of the biggest persecutions that they were about to face when their master and their Lord, in just a short amount of time, was going to be killed and crucified. And then you see after that that there was a persecution that broke out against the church, and the church would be scattered and it would be persecuted and it would be beaten and it would be killed. And so Jesus was talking to them in a dark time as well. Do you see the connection, the darkness? It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking the planet, but it's something that's happening right now as well. Spiritual darkness, spiritual blindness. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden." When he says you, the Greek word here is humorous, that is emphatic in the Greek language. What he's saying is that you right there are the light of the world. You are the only light of the world. And when he says are, he's speaking, the Greek word there again is present tense. We're saying you right now, you are the only light of the world. You might have been the light of the world 10 years ago. You might have been the light of the world 5 years ago, but maybe last year, maybe a couple months ago. But did you know that God has called you right now to be the light of the world? Right now. You are the light of the world. When you look at the Greek word for light, it's actually the word phos, which is the root word from the word that we get photo and photograph. I kind of find it interesting that it comes from, again, that it's from, we get the words photo and photograph from the word light. Has anyone ever had one of those old Polaroid cameras where you take the picture and then it pushes the picture out and then you're looking at it and it's dark and you start shaking it and it's blurry and you keep on shaking. Maybe I'm speaking, I'm very old, I apologize. So they're coming back. They're coming back, praise the Lord. You shake it, and you look at it, and you shake at it again, and you look at it. It's like you are the light. You are the photograph. You are the photo of the world. I wonder when I read that, I wonder if we are giving people a clear picture of who Jesus really is. Or if maybe perhaps we are giving people a blurry picture of who Jesus really is. You know what I'm talking about today, church? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I can imagine, so when Jesus preached this message, he was preaching on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And actually, if you do a little bit of geography, you can see that there's a city called the city of Safed, which is actually off in the distance, that sits about 2,600 feet above sea level. So here's a city, and I imagine as Jesus was talking about the city on a hill that cannot be hidden, maybe he was looking at the city of Safed. Maybe he was pointing to the city, and he's looking at the city, and he's talking about the city. Hey, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, the interesting thing about a city that's on a hill is in the daytime you can see the city. The daytime you can see the outline. Maybe you can see people walking around. Maybe you can see some livestock walking around. Maybe you can see the buildings. Maybe you can see some trees leading up to the city. But did you know that also in the nighttime you can see the city as well? Have you ever been flying when you're about 20,000, 30,000 feet above, you know, and you can see the city below you, you can see the lights? You can see the city in the daytime, and you can also see the city in the nighttime. You can see the city in the daytime, and you can also see the city in the nighttime. I think sometimes when I read the totality of this passage of Scripture from the Sermon on the Mount, I really feel like what Jesus was imploring his disciples to do was to be bold and to step out in faith and to proclaim the message of the kingdom. And what he was saying is that there are no secret agents in Christianity. There are no special missions with Christians. There are no undercover Christians. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I wonder if someone went and they came to your work, and or if someone came to him to work, and they're like, hey, did you know that Billy's a Christian? They'd be like, who? Who's? Are you talking about Billy? Over? No way. Like, do you understand what I'm talking about today? Like, God has called us to stand out. God has called us to be a city on a hill. God has called us to be the light of the world. He has not called us to be hidden. He has not called us to hide. He has not called us to sit in the secret. But God has called us to be the light of the world. There are two things that I see about the light, and then I'm going to close. Two things that I see about the light. Light does two things. First of all, light exposes the darkness. Can you look to your neighbor and say, exposes the darkness? Look to your other neighbor and say, it exposes the darkness. It exposes the darkness. In John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, check this out. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has already believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation. Look at this. That the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You know, I believe, again, that light exposes the darkness, and that there is a spiritual battle going on right now. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. I think that we are in a spiritual battle right now, not only in our country, but also with our government. If you go further, you can see that it's probably going on in our city, and maybe even if you take it further, it's going on in your homes. What's interesting is when you look at Matthew chapter 5, if you look at it again, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do you light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the home. Did you guys realize that when the light starts, it needs to start in our own home? It needs to be exposed in our own home first, and then it moves its way outward. I think if we contextualize it, we can see that it begins in us internally and then moves out. I think it's easy for us to look out and see all the hurt that's happening, but what about our own lives? How are we allowing God to illuminate our own lives? If we think for a moment, we think about the darkness, what about our own faults? What about our own sins? What about our anger? What about our jealousy? What about the things that we do in the dark behind closed doors when no one else is looking? Light exposes the darkness, but I believe that light also, and the worship team can come back up here if we can sing that last song one more time, How Great Is Our God. I believe that also, not only does it expose the darkness, but that light also reveals the truth. It reveals the truth. My wife and I recently went up to St. Ignace up in the UP, which is just over the Mackinac Bridge. I think it's the first city that you hit when you go into the UP. And as we were walking around the city, we were walking in the little ports and whatnot, and we went out to eat way too many times. We spent way too much money. Did anyone do that on vacation? Do you ever have buyer's regret afterwards? Look at your bank account. No one ever. Oh, man. I need to refinance the house now, I think. we were walking through these ports, and we were reading a plaque that was saying that, I guess I didn't realize this, but the waters up there underneath the Mackinac Bridge going from Lake Michigan to Lake Huron are, I guess, pretty dangerous. Not only because of the depth of the water, they said by the bridge it's like 300 feet deep underneath the deepest part of the bridge. Not only because of the depth of the water, but also I guess there's a pretty bad undertow. And even today they say boats go down up there in that area because of the straits and the way that the landscape is. And I was reading this plaque, this historical plaque, and it said something like, I forget, it was like in the thousands of ships have gone down in those straits right by the bridge there. And when we were over on Mackinac Island, you can look out and you can see a lighthouse that's there that's called the Round Island Lighthouse. It actually looks kind of like a schoolhouse. The top of it's red and the bottom of it's white. I guess it was built in 1895, but they built it because of all the treacherous rocks and because of the waters that were there near the island. And I guess when I think about us being the light of the world, I think, man, when there's a light, and really it only takes one light to make a difference in a dark room, amen? But when there's a light in a dark place, it reveals the truth. It reveals the dangers. And really, I think the closer you get to Jesus, who is the truth, right? The more you see the things that are all around you. So maybe you're here today and you've been experiencing, I don't know, maybe you've been experiencing darkness, or maybe you're here today and you've been hiding from the light. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you've been going through your own treacherous waters, and I want to give you encouragement today that God wants to illuminate on you. You know, when you think about the sun, the S-U-N, the sun reflects on the moon, and the moon has no light of its own, right? But it's from the light of the sun that the moon reflects. And I feel like that's kind of the way that we're supposed to be with Jesus. Like when people see us, they're supposed to see a clear image of him in us. And so, God, I just pray right now that you will speak to us, God. I just pray that your light will shine upon us. God, I pray that we will be a clear picture of you, God. I pray that we will be people that are not afraid to shine in a dark world. God, we know that we are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill that should not be hidden. Father, I pray that we won't blend into the darkness, Father, but that we will just illuminate for you, God. God, I just pray right now that as we sing this song one last time, that you will minister to us and speak to us in your holy name. Amen.